want to tell you a story. It's a story that takes place in a time long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, I'm kidding. This is not a Star Wars thing this morning. But I do want to tell you a story that really does take place a long time ago in a land that's very much different than what you and I are probably, if you live in the States, are not used to being around. There was a guy who, in his day, was extremely wealthy. He had all that he could ask for. He had a wife. He had 10 kids. He had servants who, in the day, were hired help. He had all the resources that he needed. He was a guy who, in his community, he believed that God was worthy of worshiping. But the thing was that where he lived, was not a place where people wanted or to believe like he believed. One day, as he's doing life, God is in his heavenly court, and God has an adversary that comes into that heavenly court. And this adversary is one who apparently has been allowed to go throughout, roam throughout the earth and try to find those that he might tempt to not trust and worship God. Well, God knows this, and God has a thought. God says, "Have you thought about this guy?" And he gives him a subject, gives him a person to consider testing. And this man has no idea that this is about to come into his life. Remember, he's just doing life as normal, day in and day out. And this adversary takes the challenge and begins to sort of wreak havoc on this man's life. And his life goes from being up on the mountaintop to being down in the valley within a matter of just like that. It's a rough story, because in that story, this guy has not only natural disasters that he has no control over, ripping away what he has been so blessed to enjoy and what he has worked so hard to have. And he has people that are coming into his life and that are robbing him, killing family servants, and just, again, destroying what he had enjoyed and worked so hard for and took a lot of pride in and was very grateful for. I could see that, right? Makes sense. And in that time and in that moment, he's had financial, material, personal disaster, ruin, just come in his life one after another, after another, after another. And there's really no rational explanation as an outsider when you look at this story to in any way think that he had it coming, or that he had made poor choices that were setting him up to have that experience. It doesn't make any sense at all. But that is where he finds himself. And he's struggling, and he's suffering inside. His life doesn't make any sense. He gets it. He understands it. And it doesn't make any sense, too, when we consider that the God that he worshiped is a good God. He's torn. Now, I think that that story, which, by the way, is part of the story of Job, from the book of Job in the Old Testament of the Christian Bible, that story has some parallels to where we find ourselves today. You know, I don't know for you how this virus has impacted you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, maybe health-wise or financially, just a change in your rhythm of life, what you used to do, how you used to do it, when you used to do it, and what's been taken from you, what you haven't had control over, that it's become a really tough season for you to be in. Now, let me give you a disclaimer before I go any further. You know that old saying that says, don't hear what I'm not saying? Well, I'm going to use that as my disclaimer. Don't hear what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is that this virus that we're in right now and this season we're in has been caused by God or by his adversary. It has not. I'm not implying that connection to this story. In fact, I don't want to even focus on that because this story is not meant to teach us that. This story is meant to teach us about God and about his relationship with Job and vice versa, Job's relationship with God. And what God had anticipated and hoped for from Job in the midst of his trials. And so we're going to focus on that this morning. But let's just put ourselves in that place in this story that I think kind of fits with where we are. I don't know if you saw the news this week, but I know unemployment raised about 4.4% close to the, you know, for the last week, which meant that unemployment went up to roughly 27 million Americans who had lost their job for one reason or another, and so they're trying to figure out how do we move forward from here. You've got workers that have worked so hard, and they have just gone in, and they have done exactly what was expected of them, and yet they still lost their job. And with so many companies that have had to cut back and reduce what they've produced or the services that they've offered, we're starting to feel, or we have been, but a trickle-down effect of that. So we're seeing in people's homes that they're wrestling and businesses that relied on, companies farther up the chain are struggling because they don't have what they're used to having, and so they aren't able to offer to you and to me things that we're used to getting. In fact, I talked with the operations director at Hope Central this week, and he was sharing with me how, you know, they've been struggling a little bit to get the meat that they need just because farther up the line, changes have been made, and that's resulted in, less product being available, and so that trickles down, and it, you know, impacts us at the consumer level, and so, you know, their Hope Central Ministry has, they've been impacted by that, and so, you know, they're hoping that folks like you and me, their local, would be willing and potentially able to help out in that time of need. And so if you have that opportunity, I want to highly encourage you to do that. It's a fantastic ministry. Here at New Hope, we love partnering with Hope Central. It's such a great opportunity in Boonville to, you know, just help folks who need a hand up more than just a hand out. And so I would encourage you to do that if you have opportunity. And feel free, just either, you know, you can get in touch with the church here or Hope Central, and you can find them online. And I know they'd be delighted to work with you and see how you could help them out. But, you know, there's a lot of other nonprofits who have been wrestling as well in this season. And you kind of see it happening because, you know, when average person is struggling financially, we oftentimes, you know, we tighten up the reins. And one of the first things that we, you know, we reduce spending money on is really giving to charities. And so the impact is that a lot of good, nonprofits that are helping our community, they're wrestling as well. They're feeling the pinch, the impact of it. And so, you know, even beyond that, we've got small businesses that you are wrestling with having enough money to pay wages, paychecks, and they're waiting on getting some relief from that, you know, the Paycheck Protection Program. And I know there's some funding that's coming, hopefully, to, you know, kind of help, and that'll be available. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, today is today, and so they're still wrestling with that, and that's just the adversity they're finding themselves in. And, you know, there's elderly and the young, big business, small business. You've got, the rich or the poor, single, being married with kids or not kids or retired or just starting out in a family, getting married. This season we're in, man, I tell you what, it is not discriminating against anyone. it feels like it's an equal opportunist for the moment and everybody that's in its path. But I want to give you some good news in light of that. God is also an equal opportunist, and He will bless anyone regardless of season or stage of life or what's happening, if they will call on His name in faith and lean into Him and trust in Him, regardless of wherever they're at, because He's a God who loves all whom He has created. Here at New Hope, we hold on to this phrase that, you know, says, look, we're not trying to be a church of perfect people because we're all imperfect, but we know that God loves us all right where we are, and we believe that's true for everybody. And so I share that with you today and hope that may be a word of encouragement, especially as I keep talking about what we can learn from Job's experience. And we're going to keep there, going there in just a moment. You know, when Job's story is in a particular book, and I want to teach for just a second, just for a minute on this. This is helpful for us to know. You know, Job's story, it's in a book that's part of a genre of books in the Bible, and they're called the wisdom books. And sometimes they are hard books to read through and, just kind of wrestle with what it's saying, because one thing we find out is that, you know, in the wisdom books, they really don't tend to kind of coddle us, you know, or just say, oh, you're going to be able to do it. I know you're going to get there and get through that. Oftentimes the wisdom books separate the truth from untruths. And it's very, oftentimes can be very, we might say, sort of black and white, and kind of draw some lines that says, this is what's wise and this is what's foolish, you know, and this is the way to go and this is not the way to go. And we get left with this choice. And that's where I want to direct us in Job. Because you see, when Job finds out all the destruction that's happened in his life, he's faced with a moment. And if you've got your Bible, I want to invite you to look at this moment and how he responds in Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, at verse 20, I want to do the first part of this verse. In that moment, if you look at that verse, in that particular moment, Job is broken. Job has just found out that his kids have died. All of them have died. That what he's invested in and tried to take care of has all been wiped away. It's been destroyed. And in that moment, in his brokenness, he decides that he's going to take off his outer robe. He's going to shave his head. And in the Middle East, that was a way of mourning because he's broken. He's moved by grief, lost it all. But in that moment, he does something else. And you see it at the end of verse 20. That verse says that he worshiped God. And you see, in the culture of the day, to worship God was this sense of either kneeling down or laying prostrate, you know, all the way out on the ground with the head down to the ground and just simply choosing in that moment to just worship God, to focus on how holy and amazing and true and absolutely everything good about God in that moment, even though you feel like there's so much that is not good and not right and so messed up and just out of order in life. Probably for a lot of us, that's what we're wrestling with. So much of where we're at just seems like it's so in such disarray. Job says, it's in that moment I'm going to choose to worship. It's in that moment that Job had an unsolvable problem. So do we, in a sense. But he saw praise in his pain as the wise choice. He was humbled with adversity. You know, sometimes life is so hard, it feels like it just brings you to your knees, right? And that's where he's at. He's humbled in adversity. But he says, I'm going to choose humble adoration. Now, his feelings were real. I think sometimes in the church, and I've heard this, and I know folks have wrestled with this, that we would sometimes have said that, you know what, when you're feeling pain, you need to just hold your head up, smile, and just praise God and declare it's going to be okay. And we ought to have the faith that trusts God for the future and for the moments that He'll get us through that. But see, at the same time, God has created us to feel emotion. And Job is not turning from his hurting emotions. In fact, it's that moment where he's feeling the brokenness, but at the same time, he's choosing to allow his faith to be the focus when he's feeling so frustrated and broken. He doesn't deny his pain. You don't need to deny how you feel. How you feel is real. Own how you feel. Don't bury it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend like it isn't real, because it is real. It's you, and it's because of where you're at and what's happening in life. Feel how you feel. But try not to let your feelings override your faith. Try not to let a bad experience or a rock bottom season diminish your reverence for God. Try not to let how you feel influence how you think about God. It's worth noting, I think, in Job's story that, you know, when he's right here in this moment, that verse 22 says that he didn't sin by declaring to God that God had done something wrong, that God had made the mistake, that God had was in error, that it never once does he do that. In fact, he chooses something different. Would you look at that with me? It's in verse 21. You know, here he is, he's feeling low, down at the bottom, but he holds on to this high view of God. And here's what he says, verse 21. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." What a powerful response. I love how we might take this and kind of just paraphrase it for a moment. He essentially says, look, I came into this world as a naked baby. I know it's weird, we use the word naked in church, but he said it first, so I'm going to go with it. I came into this world as a naked baby, didn't have anything, not a stitch of clothes on my back, nothing. And I'm going to go out of this world with nothing. Everything I ever had and everything I have, whether it's much or it's little, has come because God allowed it to enter into my life, and God allowed it to go out of my life. Regardless of what I have gained or what I have lost, God is worthy of praise, glory, and honor. And so, you know, I'm not going to blame God for where I'm at in life. I wish I wasn't right here. I wish it was different and easier. I wish I had what I used to have. But I'm not going to blame God for the moment of hardship that I'm in. Nope, not going to do that. In my hardship, I'm going to feel what I feel because it hurts, but I'm also going to choose that by faith I'm going to praise God because He's worthy of praise regardless of my circumstances. And I may not praise Him with a smile on my face, but I'm going to praise Him from a knowing in my heart and in my head that my circumstances have not changed who God is, that my circumstances have no bearing on the moral goodness of God. But I think that's often where we are tempted to go. Have you ever felt like those times where, you know what, my life is so rough. How can God be good and allowed my life to be at this hard spot? A good God wouldn't do that. Well, your hard spot in life has really nothing to do with God's goodness. But that's hard because oftentimes, my experience has been that's not what we want to hear, because we feel that justice should be prevailing and my life should be good if I'm trying to do what is good. but there really is not a connection. Sometimes life is hard, and sometimes life does not go the way we want it to. It's not just, and it's not fair. It's just a broken life, a world broken in sin. But the God who's created us, and the God who has saved us, and the God who loves us is not broken. He is perfect and good in every way. He is holy, and He loves us regardless of where we're at and what we're going through. It's a God that asks us to trust Him. To trust Him, even though some would look at their experiences and go, "It don't make any sense to me. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. How in the world can you trust in a God that wouldn't keep that from happening? If God is so good and worthy of worshiping, then He should have saved that person. He should have not let me lose my job. He should have not let my elderly family member get sick with COVID-19. Or sometimes to go, "I guess I've messed up so bad that God's just bringing all this pain into my life." No. Sometimes life just hits hard, and it just is what it is. But this is where we get the invitation to be like Job and to make a choice. And I know that's a hard thing to hear, especially when we're struggling and hurting, because sometimes making that choice is really hard. And God knows that. But God says, "I can give you the grace to help you make that choice." And it is God's desire that we would see our hardship, but also not harden our hearts and go, "You know what? Okay, here's where I'm at." And sometimes we need other people to say that to us, you know, can come alongside us and go, "Yep, I see where you're at." But where you are in this moment is not your whole story. And I want to encourage you to just worship God in the midst of your woes. And I want to encourage you to just praise God in the midst of your pain. And I want to encourage you to just adore God in the midst of your adversity. Because whether you're where you want to be or not, He's always worthy of all of the above. I think the psalmist maybe says it in one of the coolest pictures. Because the psalmist in Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses." In other words, some people trust in the things that they can see and the things they can hold on to that makes them feel like, "I got it all together and life is good and I'm going to be victorious." He says, you know, some people do it that way. But he says, "You know what? I'm going to trust in the power of the Lord my God." And here's the thing. When you and I trust in the power of the Lord our God, in essence, we're saying, "I'm trusting in the God who is my creator. I'm trusting in the God who brought light into darkness. I'm trusting in the God who walked on water, the same God who calmed the storm, the same one that healed the sick, the one that raised the dead, in fact, the one that overcame death himself and came back to life 3 days after being buried in a tomb, after being crucified for the sins of the world. And plus, that same God is the one that promised, "You know what? If you'll persevere in faith, even though it's hard, I will bless you." And you see, that is the lesson at the end of Job's story. If you read that whole story, he goes through having people tell him that he is wrong in what he believes. People that argue with him. And then, in fact, he has a moment where he sort of argues with God a little bit because he's wrestling with it, because he's struggling. And he's sort of lamenting that he's hurting so much and doesn't get it. And God hears his lament because he knows he's broken. But God comes back and shares with him, "Look, I know you're hurting, but I'm God. And where you're at has not escaped me. If I can handle all of this that I have given to you and put into place all around you of creation and all your blessings, don't you think that I can take care of this season, this moment that you're in? I can take care of you." Now, I'm summarizing a very long response by God, but the beauty is that Job listens to God. you feel like you struggle to listen to God sometimes when he's maybe wanting you to hear something that you're may not be exactly what you're wanting to hear. But Job says, I hear you. I hear you. You're right. You're right. It's not my place to question and to criticize you. My place is to worship and to trust you. And as he confesses that and he actually prays for his friends who were trying to tell him he was in the wrong, God ends up blessing Job. In fact, he sort of doubly blesses him and is just simply a way of God teaching us that the wise response in the midst of hardship is not to harden our hearts, but to hold on to faith and to trust that God is greater than any moment that we struggle in. And I know I said it once, but I want to just bring it back in here again, because I think this is so important today. Remember, Job does not deny how he feels. You and I do not need to deny how we feel when we're wrestling and struggling with such a hard season in life that we're in. Nope. Job embraces how he feels. And I want to invite you again to embrace how you feel. But in your feelings, what's healthy is not to get stuck on unhealthy feelings, but to give faith a chance. To maybe allow others to come alongside you in your hardship. To listen to others who may want to encourage you and share wisdom with you that simply says, look, I know you're hurting, but God loves you. I know life doesn't make sense. Doesn't always make sense. But God is still Lord of heaven and earth. He's still reigning on his throne, and there's nothing in life that has or ever will threaten that. In your faith, God's got you. You're okay. It doesn't feel okay, and it's okay that it doesn't. But you're loved by a God who's more than able to take care of you right now and in the days ahead. See, wisdom, I believe, says, look, my feelings are valid in this season, but this season is not my whole story. It's a chapter. It's a page. Maybe it's two chapters, depending how long it is. But I'm not going to let that hinder my heart from loving God. In fact, wisdom says, I'm going to choose to trust that Christ has secured a way for me to get through all of this. And he has. You see, that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Easter morning. That's the message of the resurrection. And that's the message that gives us hope. Because Jesus, by overcoming the grave, has made a way for us to overcome anything and everything that would separate us from the hope and the peace and the joy and the love of God that he gives to us through our faith. And as we hold on to that promise of victory through faith, we're able to have an assurance that even though it's hard, God has not left. You know, God has not left the building. He's still with me. He knows right where I'm at. He's not oblivious to it. And I'm trusting that when Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world, John 16:33, that he really was promising that, listen, not even death itself can take away the promise of hope, peace, joy, love, eternal life in God's kingdom. Nothing can take that away. That is set in Christ. He is sufficient to make that unchanging. Wisdom is what invites us to ask the question, yeah, but will you believe, right? That's the wise choice, but will you believe? Would Job believe that in the midst of that hardship, that God was still worthy of trusting and serving and following and worshiping? God believed that Job would. See, it was the adversary that thought that Job would turn his back on God, that really the only reason that he was even honoring God with worship was just because life was so good. But if you remove all of that and life is really hard, the adversary thought, he'll turn on you faster than you can snap your fingers. And God said, no, I don't believe he will, because he worships me. He trusts me. He has a healthy, reverent fear, a respect for who I am, and knows that I am good and that I will take care of him. And see, God was right. And this is why God ended up blessing Job for honoring him with his faith in the midst of all his hardships and struggles. And that's the message I want to encourage us with today, that no matter where you're at and what you're going through, and it doesn't have to be COVID-19, it may be, you know, just work itself or something at home that you're wrestling with, or maybe it's own different health issues that you're struggling with, or somebody just not being fair to you in a relationship, and you've poured so much into it, and you're not getting back what you expect to get out of that, and you're getting really super frustrated. And it just seems like one thing after another just keeps stacking up, and you're going, man, when am I ever going to get a break? It may not come right away, but the promise of the gospel says that if we'll persevere to the end, God will honor that wise choice, and the blessing will be eternal life with him. So my question to us all today is simply this. Is that your faith? Have you made that choice? Have you settled that, you know, just in the depth of your heart, kind of in your knower, you know, do you know that to be true, and are you holding on? And maybe if you're honest, you go, I'm just wrestling. I'll be totally transparent. I don't know if I can keep going. And that's totally fine to just be honest with where you are and what you're thinking and how you're feeling. God already knows that. He's got enough grace to walk with you through that season. That's totally fine. But at the same time, I want to ask you, when you wrestle, are you willing to take a step of faith and be sure of what you hope for and certain of what you can't see? For our eternal well-being is connected to our faith. And that's kind of the, you know, the black and white sort of choice there that the wisdom book is giving to us this morning. Are we going to choose to say, I trust? Or say, I don't know if I can do all this? Are we willing to say that I know that God is working for my good, even though life is hard and it is not seeming fair right now? What choice will we make? The Lord invites us to make a choice of faith. And I want to pray for all of us today, because I know me personally, as much as you, I need help and strength to do that every day. And again, it's not about being perfect about that choice, but it's working towards that every day, committed to wanting to make that choice. And so would you join me in a word of prayer this morning as I ask the Lord to help us right there at that point. Let's pray. Lord, in this moment, on behalf of New Hope Community Church and all who may be watching and listening today, I want to ask that you would help us to learn from Job's response to hardship. Please grant us the wisdom that we need to make those choices when we may feel like we want to make a different choice, or maybe others are telling us or alluding to our faith being a waste of time. Help us to know that it's not a waste of time, that never at any moment are you ever, God, a waste of our time. You are worth all of our time and all of our faith. And so help us with encouragement to wisely hold on to that truth as we're going through this hard season right now, because, man, it's tough and we need your help, God. Help us trust that you will turn our grief into joy when all is said and done. For you are a good God, and you are always worthy of praise forever and ever, because you are the Lord of heaven and earth. You are our God, and we love you. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining in with us today and listening. And I hope that Job, in his message, though it's a hard one and sometimes not a very comfortable one to read, is one that will encourage us to consider that, you know, choosing to have a healthy, reverent fear of the Lord before we get into hardship and even during hardship is the path to wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I find that if you hold on to that, it does bring the blessings of the Lord throughout our entire lives in different ways, but ultimately for all of eternity. Lord, bless you as you go forth. Thanks for being with us. God loves you. Amen.